Today's devotion is titled, Wake Up From Your Slumber. When talking to many of my Christian friends about the world at large, particularly those who are retired, those who are regularly reading their Bibles and observing what is taking place in the world today, will join their conversations say that they are waiting for Christ to come and take them home. Often they will say, I'm longing for the rapture, for Jesus to return. I am waiting to meet Jesus. It is also a deep desire of mine, while living under the pressure we are as Christians are facing, I have a longing to be free from the encumbrances of life. Seeing the speed folks seem to live these days, to know the freedom and joy of being in heaven, a place of eternal joy. The Apostle Paul was longing to be in heaven, yet at the same time he had a mission still to do on earth. He said in Philippians 1:21-23, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Can we echo the words that Paul went on to say in his later life, which is recorded in 2 Timothy 4:7-8? I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Paul emphasizes and reminds us that the day of Jesus' return is very near. Paul is blowing the warning trumpet when he says in Romans 13:11, The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52, Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. It will happen at a time that no one knows when, or we may die before he returns. When we die, we leave this world. When it is time for our old natural body to be parted from our spirit, to immediately go to be with the Lord for eternity. Jesus reminds us in Mark 13:32-33. But about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. We are in the world, but not of the world. But we should be encouraging everyone to know Jesus, who is their only hope of salvation. They need to be ready for what lies ahead in the present world. In Titus 2:11-14, the Apostle Paul says to Titus, who he called my true son in the faith, For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passion, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. In the days which we live in, We see and hear about great changes that are taking place in the spirit world. The earth is growing more and more evil, which will drastically affect the life of a Christian if they're not walking close to the Lord Jesus, who says in Matthew 24, 11 and 12, "And many false prophets will appear and deceive many. Because of the increase in wickedness, the love of most will grow cold." I want to alert everyone who reads this devotion of what is happening on our planet and in our world at this time. For the Christian, he needs not to be alarmed, but to get excited of what God will do for his church very soon. Are we watching to see what is happening around the world, both on the planet, the political and moral decline? So much so that it is becoming very obvious where we are on God's timeline of events. The quantity of earthquakes is not just one or two around the globe, but scientists are now describing the numbers of earthquakes happening as swarms, with a number of volcanoes that have been dormant for centuries suddenly coming to life. The extreme temperatures around the globe are affecting everyone, with large fires followed by massive flooding. The earth is very unpredictable and unstable. Scientists are concerned about meteorites travelling at speed close to Earth. These are what Jesus prophesied about in Luke 21:25, and are coming to pass before our eyes. Jesus said, "There will be signs in the sun, moon and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea." We also hear from scientists that a number of insects, birds, reptiles and animals are diminishing. John the Apostle, in the vision from Jesus in Revelation 16 and Revelation 19, showed him that there would be a time when a third of these species would die. This is taking place today. Over this last 200 years, since the Industrial Revolution, we have seen significant changes taking place to everything on our planet. When we closely read what God has to say in the Bible, it becomes very clear what is happening and as to what will soon happen. What is taking place in an increasing fast trajectory of events which will take place, as Jesus said in Matthew 24, during a period of 7 years when turmoil will take place on earth, which is coming very soon. There already is an increasingly steep increase in activity taking place with our planet, a build-up of nations creating two distinct alliances. There is also a steep decline in the moral depravity of mankind, such as never been seen and will never happen again. The world at large is happily going about its everyday activities with no knowledge or awareness of what really is developing on the earth and what is soon to take place. Jesus clearly says in Matthew 24:37-39, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." We as God's people can take great encouragement from what the Apostle says in Romans 8:18-23. "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but that by the will of him, of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, we have the first fruits of the Spirit groaning inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Jesus told us what to expect. He said in Matthew 24:6-8, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains." Jesus describes what is happening now in the days we're living as the beginning of birth pains. But I want to describe what is happening on our planet today in another way. It is as if God has recently touched an electrical switch, which has caused a transition of events to happen in the world right before our eyes. The events we now see, raging weather patterns, depravity in society, will rapidly increase, bringing turmoil which will lead into the major set of events of catastrophic proportion, which will last for 7 years before Jesus brings peace and his rule on the earth. The apostle reminds us, the day is near. These are the words the apostle says in Romans 13:11. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Let us remind ourselves of what was prophesied in Haggai 2:6. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. Again, we read in Hebrews 12:25-27. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicates the removal of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. God indeed is shaking everything. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew 24, which is also recorded in Luke 21:25-26. There will be signs in the sun, moon and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring of the tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. The beginning of birth pains has begun and will increase. What is now happening on the earth will intensify. But when a mother experiences birth pains, great joy follows with the birth of a new child. God has promised a rebirth for the church. We will not have to experience the full intensity of the birth pains. We will not experience those next 7 years of tribulation when extraordinary things will take place. These 7 years of tribulation are prophesied in the latter half of the book of Daniel and in Revelation 13 and in Revelation 16. We, the church, are waiting to be caught up into heaven, as the apostle reminds us in 1 Thessalonians 5:1-3. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But the Apostle says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind, who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's words, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Jesus continued to forewarn us in Matthew 24:19-22, how dreadful it will be for those, for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great distress, unequalled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one will survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. We should be ever alert as to what is happening around us right now, yet be excited to know what we can look forward to in the future. Because after the 7 years of deep turmoil on the earth, Jesus says in Luke 21:27-28, at that time they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Be encouraged by what the Apostle says in 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Another significant indication that Jesus will soon return for his church is that in the last 40 years, a great number of the Israelites in many nations are returning back to the land of Israel. It is prophesied in Jeremiah 32:37-41, I will surely gather them, that is the Jewish people, from all the lands where I banished them in my furious anger and great wrath. I will bring them back to the place and let them live in safety. They will be my people and I will be their God. I will give them singleness of heart and action, so that they will always fear me, and that all will go well for them and for their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them, and I will inspire them to fear me, so that they will never turn away from me. I will rejoice in doing them good and will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and soul. The Jews are returning to their chosen land to await the soon return of their Messiah, to live in peace and harmony. When talking to Christians about the end times, they will say, "Watch what is happening in Israel." Today, all around the world, we see a dramatic increase in anti-Semitism, hostility against Israel. The nations are joining together, those who want to destroy Israel. The rising up of nations that are wanting to destroy Israel are prophesied in Ezekiel 38:1-6, which says, "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, set your face against Gog," that's a leader of Magog, Russia, "of the land of Magog, Russia, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. Prophesy against him and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against you, Gog, chief prince of Meshech and Tubal," that's parts of Turkey. "I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaws, and bring you out with your whole army, your horses, your horsemen, fully armed, and a great horde with large and small shields, all of them brandishing their swords. Persia," that's Iran, "Cush," which is Sudan and Ethiopia, "and Put," which is Libya, "will be with them, all with shields and helmets. Also Gomer," which is central Turkey, "with all its troops, and Beth Sagamara, East Turkey, from the far north with all its troops, the many nations with you." We already see Russia, Turkey and Iran building an alliance with one another. We're seeing the prophecy of Ezekiel beginning to take shape. There are rumours of a third world war. Is this the preparation for that great war that will take place as prophesied in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39? We as God's people must remember what Jesus said after telling the disciples what is soon to take place, which he said in Luke 21:20-28. "When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judah flee to the mountains, let those in the cities get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. For this is a time of punishment, in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. There will be great distress in the land and wrath against its people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners, and all of the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the earth, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Notice what Jesus said in verse 28. "When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is near." We are seeing these signs taking place, but we'll not be there to see this happen. We will have been taken out of it before it happens. So let's again remind ourselves what Paul said to Titus 2:12-14. "Say no to ungodliness and worldly passion, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for that blessed hope, the appearance of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ." We must take heart from what Jesus said to his disciples in John 14:1-3. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If they were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Are you a part of the happy band of Christians who are boldly expectantly waiting for Jesus to return at any moment? If you do not have that excitement in your spirit and little desire for the Lord to return, it may be for two reasons. First, you may not have experienced a time in your life when you have in all sincerity invited Jesus into your life. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, 6 to 7, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Or it may be you are a Christian but lacking that desire for his return. You need to seek his presence, to feel his spirit alive and working in your heart. You can re-echo what David prayed to the Lord in Psalm 51:12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to be your guide and sustainer. We read in 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. We have to humble ourselves. We have to pray and seek God's face in sincerity of heart if we want to be changed. God promises he will hear from heaven, forgive us and heal our sadness of heart. God said to the people of Israel in Joel 2:25, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. You may think that it is too late for God to give you a future of joy, purpose and fulfillment. These last years which the Israelites experienced, God promised restoration to Israel in a day to come. We read in Jeremiah 29:10-11, this is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed from Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. God can do the same for you. His Spirit can change your direction and thinking to give you a hope and a future. You will have that desire to be guided by him and serve him and long for him to appear and take you home to heaven. The hymn writer has penned his thoughts and desires as he looks forward to Jesus returning for his church in the words of the following song. What will it be to dwell above and with the Lord of glory reign? Since the blessed knowledge of his love so brightens all that dreary plain, no heart can think, no tongue can tell, what joy it will be with Christ to dwell.
Dreary plain, no heart can. sense deceive no more, when we shall see the Prince of Life and all his works of grace explore. What heights and depths when the last tear shall dim our eyes, when he will